Going on, boys. It's been a while.
What's up?
Well, it's been a few weeks for us, but for the listeners, it's only been a week, hopefully, because we backed up on episodes we need to launch. So, But everything's good. I'm still on vacation here in the UK. I've been here for just over 2 weeks now. I've got 2 weeks left, and yeah, having a good time. All is good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Has everything been pretty much the same way since you left?
Well, I mean, it's just a different routine now. Like, obviously, I didn't have a long-term partner and a kid when I lived here. But yeah, everything's still the same. But my brothers don't live at home anymore either. When I was at home living here, my two brothers lived at home as well, but they've since moved out. So it's just my mum and dad in the house. And I did have a car, but this time around we didn't hire a car, which I wish we could have done, but it just wasn't feasible with how much car hire is for a 4 week period. So it would have been great to have a car to be able to get around a little bit easier, but yeah, super chilled. Everything else is pretty much the same, but it's good to be back. My mum and dad went to the farm with Olivia today, gave me a break, which was really nice. So I started watching Pirates of the Caribbean, and that's when you two were messaging the group. But yeah, mad chilled vibes today. How you guys doing?
Good. I got back from Florida. How long has it been? It's been like a little bit over 2 weeks now. Awesome vacation. Getting to explore. I honestly forgot how fun it was to travel and like just see different places, just see different people. Yeah, it was long overdue after like the whole COVID thing, you know, 2 years of just like being stuck here. Yeah, it was nice. Can't wait for my next vacation just to explore.
Where are you going to go?
I don't know yet. We'll figure that out. But
the world is your oyster, mate.
Yeah, that's true.
You go anywhere. Jeffers, what are you saying?
Yeah, you're awfully quiet, Jeff.
Yeah, man. I've had quite the week. But I'm getting ready for a pickleball tournament starting tomorrow. So actually, yeah, it starts tomorrow and then plays Sunday as well. So, dude, I'm just fucking, to be honest, like if I can be 100% honest, which is kind of what we've just been doing here on this podcast, because it's just what the fuck we do. And I feel like at this point, we don't have a lot of listeners. So most of our listeners will just be like our homies and people that we love and trust and all that. So it's like, you know. If it feels more comfortable just like being 100% open on this podcast, because on my own podcast, it's like I'll get pretty raw and honest on there, but there's also like quite a few listeners and stuff, so it's harder to get. That's always in the back of my mind is like, who's going to be listening to this? Do I want this getting out to the public? Blah, blah, blah. But then there's this part of me that's like, fuck it, dude. You've always been so open and honest about your past and shit and all of that. So, yeah. So I don't know how much I've told you guys about this, but so Jeff last year was being a little more promiscuous and was hooking up and going on dates and kind of just dating around and stuff. And I had like a one night stand with this girl that I met from online dating, and I pretty much like might have a kid. Like, long story short, I might have a kid. And so yesterday was pretty heavy because I like got the paternity test, and I like went to her house and like met the baby for the first time and like held the baby, and we took the baby's like DNA, like saliva with like a, you know, a mouth swab and stuff, and then I took mine and we put it in an envelope. So like next week, I'll know whether like I have a kid or not. So pretty fucking crazy, to say the least. And so that's just been heavy, man. Like, I think I've just been, like, I just had a lot of shit on my mind, because obviously that's a big life changing thing. And then I've got this tournament coming up, and like, I just, fuck, man, it's just been a lot. So that's been my week.
And is this your first time talking about it, mate?
Like openly or like period?
Yeah. Like, I know we've talked about it a couple of times on some of the calls we've had privately over the last several months. Mm-hmm. But yeah, is this the first time that you've openly talked about it?
Yeah, like I haven't talked about it on my social medias or stuff, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. I might have mentioned it on somebody else's podcast, like without even thinking about it. But I've talked about it with lots of people. Like, it's not something that I'm like, it's, I don't know. I think we need to remove the like whole stigma or faux pas from like this shit happens, and it happens a lot. And the difference about the situation with me is like, I'm willing to step up and be the fucking father if it's my kid. Right. And that's where like, maybe like me in my teens and 20s, like if something like this happened, I may not have. I was not as good of a person as I am now. And I wasn't as willing to step up or like had as much self-belief as I have now that like I can do something like that and be a good father and step up to the plate and take care of responsibilities and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm super heavy, but I said to you before, like, you know, you've done this test now, and you'll find out whether you're the dad or not. And you know, if you're not, you're gonna get your life back potentially. And if you are, you get a daughter. It's a girl, right?
Yeah, it's a girl. Yeah, dude. Yeah. She's 6 pounds. She's 6 pounds. She's super like premature, like little tiny, tiny, tiny kid, tiny little baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so mate, it's kind of win-win, really, you know. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're gonna lose a lot of time, but you're gonna have an amazing daughter. Like, think about your bond with your dog, you know, and it's just gonna be like that, but way better. You know, it's more work, yeah, obviously, but yeah, it's way better, you know. So I mean, so yeah, man, that must be tough for you. So sorry to hear you're going through that, man. Hopefully, get an answer anyway soon.
You know, it's more of a relief knowing that I'm gonna find out like really, really soon. Like, I actually mailed the test out today. So it's more of a relief that like I'm gonna know here shortly, and then I'll know for sure. It was more frustrating for me not to know. Right, like the entire time she was pregnant, like not knowing, and that was more frustrating. Now I almost have like more of a sense of relief knowing that like I'll know here shortly. So it's not like, I don't know, like people say like, I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm like, no, like this is 100% my decisions. It's 100% like my actions. So it's not, I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it as like, oh man, this is a lot that I'm going through. I look at it as like, this is either what's supposed to happen or not what's supposed to happen. So we'll see. And if I end up having a kid, like, I know it's going to be cool. So
yeah. And you'll be a great daddy if you are, mate. You know what I mean?
Thank you, bro. Appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, but yeah, excited for the pickleball tournament coming up, and excited to be back on the podcast with you guys. I feel like it has been like, what, a week? Only really a week, right?
Did we do one last week? No, I think.
Oh, maybe we missed one last week. Anyways,
It's been 2 weeks, maybe.
It's been two weeks,
or,
yeah.
2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, and we haven't been as dialed in the group chat as we normally are, just, like, shooting the shit back and forth. So, it's been,
Yeah,
it's cool to connect back with you guys.
Yeah, I have not been doing as much work as I was planning to do. I have been... I have been running a challenge for a group of gyms in the US, a nutrition challenge, which is going really well. And so right now I'm kind of making sure that my one-on-one clients, like if I get a chance to work, and I'm trying to prioritize that as much as I can, but when I do get a chance, it's one-on-one clients and the challenge. And then if I get extra time, which hasn't really happened yet, then it will be content creation. So just trying to prioritize my current clients and this challenge. But I haven't even been able to get into I've trained twice since I've been here. So that's something that I'm struggling with. I even turned your podcast on, Austin. You sent an email out about how to train and your nutrition on vacation. So I was like, Austin's got some tips for me. Great timing. So yeah, I've been struggling with that a little bit because we've taken Olivia out of daycare in Canada, right? She's in daycare like 9 to 5. And then like I do my thing while she's at school. I work, I train during that time. Whereas now she's here all the time. And like my mum and dad, although they're super helpful, they don't want to be looking after Olivia all day. So like it's mostly me hands-on and she's so attached to me. Like Lucy, my partner, she tries her best to like to take on as much as she can with that, but like Olivia, my daughter, is so attached to me, she just wants me to do everything. And like, for example, like she woke up in the middle of the night at 12 o'clock and she's calling for daddy, and Lucy went in and was like trying to calm her down, and she just like sprinted to the bedroom because she knew I was there and was like screaming, no, I want daddy to come. I want daddy to come. And so I had to go, and then I had to spend the rest of the night like up and down with her and stuff. So it's kind of been difficult because it's been like that during the day as well. So I haven't been training as much. I've trained twice since I've been here. And I know my legs are going to be in pain when I get my first leg session in. Tracking nutrition, I haven't tracked at all. I've just been, my goal is to maintain weight, which I'm doing a good job of, but I feel like I should be on the bloody, anti-body recomp round table. But, you know, what I've been thinking is like when you have like a couple of weeks of this, it just makes you so itching to get back to your routine. Like, because I feel that now, like I feel like, man, I can't wait to get back to my routine, get back to training, get back to my Z2 cardios, you know. And I'm just going to get back into my routine with a whole new level of motivation because, like, I've been having this period where I haven't been able to train as much. I'm just going to go balls to the walls, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I've got going on.
Something nice about taking a break too, man. It's like you take a break and I feel like if you're mindful about the break that you're taking and you like plan it out, you can come back so recharged and refreshed. So if you take a break from content creation, you take a break from scrolling on the phone all the time, you take a break from like lifting, take a break from even like trying to get a really huge amount of steps every day, cardio, nutrition, tracking nutrition, and then you come back and you're like, okay, cool, I actually like enjoy my routine again, because all that stuff can be a lot to manage, right? But then I don't know, I feel like there is a point you take a break and you like come back recharged and refreshed.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I'm struggling with as well. It's like I haven't planned to take a break. Mm-hmm. Like I'm taking, and so my mindset is like, oh man, I should be going in the gym and I should be posting on Instagram. And I'm still opening up TikTok and just scrolling through sometimes if I get like a few minutes. And in that sense, I feel like I'm not getting the break from social media that I need. And I'm also not getting the mental break from the gym because I'm just feeling guilty about not going in because I had planned to be going in. So yeah, maybe there's something I can do in the next 2 weeks to chill a little bit around that, because it's been really difficult to get in, much more difficult than I anticipated, obviously. But
it's hard. It's hard, dude. It's, we have like pressure on ourselves to, like, we're missing this rat race. Like, we're in this rat race and we're missing out on something if we're not, you know, constantly on these apps or constantly posting or constantly, you know, whatever. And it's just, it's kind of bullshit. Like, it is, you know, that like taking 2 weeks off from the gym is not going to make or break your progress, in the same way that taking 2 weeks off from posting content is not going to make or break your business or your social media or any of that. So it's,
I suppose you're right, but it's hard to wrap your head around that sometimes, because like, I think to myself, if I'm not posting daily, or, you know, at least 3 to 5 times per week, then I might not get enough leads coming in. And if I'm not getting people interested in coaching, then potentially I'm just going to have people that I currently coach at some point potentially cancel. And if I not get new people coming in and just get current people leaving, then it's only going to go down. And so that's when I start to panic a little bit. But yeah, you're right, like, a few weeks off isn't going to do anything, really. One's left. So everyone's good.
Dude, I took a few months off in 2020. Like, I went to Alaska for a couple months and completely, like, scheduled out all my posts, like, told all my clients, hey, like, I'm taking a break. If you want to come back, you can come back. Like, I was obviously, I wouldn't do that now, because my business was really small back then. I had like 4 or 5 clients, and they, like, I'd been working with them all for quite a while. But I took like 2 months off, came back, and all those clients came back, and I also gained like another 5 more clients, and I just felt so recharged and refreshed, because like the whole time I was there, I didn't have cell phone service. So like scrolling was not an option, dude. So like, but it was so good, dude. It was, I spent more time outside, and like, dude, it was just so good for me to just take a break. I didn't realize how locked down I was to my phone and scrolling and social media until I did that. And I took that break, and it was like, I don't know, man. I think, obviously, you know, do what feels right, but I think taking a planned break would be nice, because otherwise you're kind of doing this whole thing in your mind that you're not meeting these expectations that you set for yourself, rather than, hey, I plan to take a break. Shit, I'm good with not posting. I'm good with not scrolling. I'm good with not doing this or that. Like, it's the same way that if you have a client who is like, hey, I'm going to go on vacation. Like, how do I stay on track? I'm going to be on vacation 2 weeks in Hawaii. How do I stay on track? You'd probably tell them, you don't. You enjoy your fucking vacation, right? It's 2 weeks. You got another 50 weeks out of the year. We can dial in. 2 weeks is not going to fucking matter. So the same way that – but let's say they do try and stay on track while they're on vacation, and they can't because they're constantly being bombarded and invited to restaurants, and there's so much tasty food and cool things going on. And then they beat themselves up when they get back and they're up like 10 pounds. It's a different mindset. They get back and they're up 10 pounds, but they know they enjoyed themselves and had a good time, and they know that most of its water weight and glycogen is going to come off the first week anyways. So it's a different mindset. It's like, you can either go into it knowing that you need a break and you deserve a break and you can take a break and it's not going to make or break your progress, or you can go into it thinking, I'm going to stay on track while on vacation, which never fucking works. And beat yourself up for not being able to stick to your own weird expectations that you set for yourself.
It's so different. It's so difficult when it's you in the driving seat, and when it's like, when there's emotion attached to it, or like when it's, yeah, just when it's you, like when it's you going through that journey, you know, it's hard. Like, it's so obvious that when it's one of my clients, it's like, just enjoy your holiday and like, it's fine if you eat more calories than you would when you're at home, because you've got so much time at home that you can, you know, correct that. But when it's me and I'm like, oh man, you know, I'm a fitness coach, I need to stay in shape, I need to go to the gym, and like all the pressure of like all of that kind of thing, it's suddenly it's much harder to be able to coach yourself through that. So
it's kind of interesting, right? Because we teach everybody to look at things from a long-term perspective, and then even what I just said about there's another 50 weeks in the year, well, if we look at, we want to be doing this for the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. We want to be doing this for the next 50 years. Is 2 weeks really going to fucking matter, right? 50 years and 2 weeks. It's like, like, what are we tripping for, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't matter.
We're in this for life. So, like, who cares? Who cares? I was listening to that podcast with Mike Matthews and Adam, is it Schaefer from Mind Pump?
Yeah.
Adam Schaefer from Mind Pump and Mike Matthews, and they were talking about how these influencers like the Liver King and the Carnivore MD and like these, basically these people have gotten a lot of clout and a lot of shine on social media very quickly by recommending these very intense protocols or diets or just trying to get people's attention and make a shit ton of money in a very short amount of time. That business model versus somebody like Mind Pump, where they have a podcast, they have the number one fitness podcast, period, and a multi-million dollar per year business that they grew very, very, very slowly. They've been doing this for like decades. So it grew very, very, very slowly, and they were okay with that. But they never took like a crazy stance on like anything. They were just kind of like, yeah, you should probably be doing like the middle ground stuff. You should be balanced, moderation, everything we talk about, right? And they did that, and they grew very, very slowly, but they just kept at it. They kept at it. They kept at it for years and years and years. And now they're at a point where, like, they just get to hang out, do a podcast just like this, and they're very successful. But it took a long time to get that success and to get where they are now. And even to this day, a lot of people still don't know who the hell they are. Unless you're in the fitness industry, you don't know who the hell Adam Schaefer is, or Sal, whatever his name. Like, I don't even know his last name. I know he has a book that's super popular, but yeah, like a lot of people still don't know who they are, but they know who the fuck Carnivore MD and Liver King are, right? Because these guys are fucking ridiculous. So it just goes to show you that, like, just doing the right thing consistently over time and being patient for years and years and years, it pays off. It pays off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that kind of does go back to like the long-term thing. It's like, how long do you want to be doing this? Like, do you want a business that's like only around for maybe the next 3 years and you just want to make a huge cash grab? It's like, yeah, I mean, that's okay if that's something you want to do, but like, I think all of us can speak that that's not something we want to do. We want our businesses to be here for the next 50 years. And so it might be a lot harder at first. We are going to go through a lot more trials and tribulations, and you know, things aren't going to grow as fast, and things might seem like they're not moving for a few years, but eventually we are going to make it, and our businesses are going to like ride out that the long game and be super successful down the road.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And then that also speaks for fitness. Like, you can either get in really good shape for the next like few years and then end up losing it all because you're doing something stupid and unsustainable, or you can not get all those like really quick results up front. Meanwhile, like, you're able to sustain a good level of fitness, and then say, you know, 10, 20, 30 years on the road, people are going to be like asking you, like, how do you stay so in shape in your older age? Because, you know, a lot of people tend to think that as you get older, somehow your health and your fitness goes to shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, man. Speaking of which, what do you guys think of you know, separate topic, but I've been getting a lot of questions about it. What do you guys think of the carnivore diet? Just curious on your guys' thoughts, and then I'll let you guys know my thoughts.
I guess I'll go first, get out of the way, and then I'm excited to see what you guys say, because I see Austin giggling. it annoys me. It annoys me when people bring up the carnivore diet. I roll my eyes, not in front of them when they talk, when people talk to me about it, but it honestly just one. I feel like it's just another one of those fucking things that comes and goes, and it's just fucking stupid. And I don't know for sure. Like, I'm sure other people would really understand the science of nutrition better than me. For sure they would, right? And I'm not going to get into a discussion as like a scientific discussion with Carnivore MD. Who's that? What's his name? Sam Spinelli or something? Dr. Sam Spinelli? Is that his name?
I don't think so.
I don't think that's even close, dude.
What's his name then?
I don't know.
Is it the same guy as what's his fucking name? Paul Saladino.
Sam Spinelli? Sam Spinelli.
I'm pretty sure Sam Spinelli is a really like legit guy too.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm getting confused.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Saladino. Funny. I knew it was an S.
Definitely Italian. Definitely
don't
Italian.
Don't tag either of them. Yeah. Don't tag either of them in this. Don't want to upset anyone. But yeah, anyway, so I'm not going to get into like a scientific like argument with them about how the body works. But I think that it would really worry me about the lack of fiber. And they have their arguments on why it's not a problem, but
I don't know. It's a point for them to pitch you their fucking supplements. Like, oh, you can eat meat all day, but you can also have these supplements for the missing shit that you're supposed to eat anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just doesn't sit right with me. It just doesn't sit right with me. It's just another one of these extreme approaches. And like, I'm not trying to say like, because there's another thing. There's another extreme, which is like, oh, you can eat whatever you want, you know, and still be healthy. Like, you know, you can just eat a load of processed food all the time. And I don't necessarily believe that either. Like, I do think everything in moderation is important, you know, but like, I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me to have just, you're just going to eat meat and have like no vegetables.
No vegetables, yeah.
Yeah. They get just meat and eggs.
So the reason they do the no vegetables is, and this is Paul Saladino, like what content I've seen from him. They're like, vegetables do not want to be eaten. They have anti-nutrients in them that make it so that it will cause you digestive issues and autoimmune issues. So he went from basically only raw meat and organs and raw organs. And then now it's like, now he eats fruit and honey. So I'm like, okay, next week he's going to add in fucking a multivitamin. Week he's going to add in fucking Metamucil and be like, oh, wait, you should be having one scoop of psyllium husk, but only raw organic psyllium husk to help you poop.
You know, my dad had a heart attack because of cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really worries me personally about, I just get freaked out now about having too much fatty meat, mm-hmm. because of that same thing. And so the lack of fiber, because fiber also reduces bad cholesterol in the body, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that, I don't know their answer to that, but that's one thing that would just really, really worry me, honestly. Clogged arteries, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I mean, we know the long-term health effects of eating a whole foods-based diet with like lots of fiber and protein and vegetables and seafood and legumes. Like, we know the long-term effects of that. We don't know the long-term effects of people eating raw meat and organs and no fiber Like it's so fucking dangerous that this is like mainstream. This is mainstream. People, like, let's just use fucking logic here. Let's just use common sense. You're eating fucking raw meat and organs. Who the fuck wants to be around you, first of all? Who wants to be around, like, imagine dating a girl and she's like, no, I'm doing the carnivore diet, right? And you take her to a fucking steakhouse and she's like, no, I just want it raw. And they're like, you want the potatoes and the asparagus? She's like, no, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. Okay. And she orders the fucking steak and then she's like, oh, can I get some bull testicles and a side of like raw kidneys? That'd be great. And you're just watching this chick eat like bloody ass raw organs and steak and stuff. And like, imagine making out with her later.
God. Yeah. You know what annoys me? It's like this ancestral eating. It's like, okay, dude, all the ancestors are fucking dead, mate. Like, they didn't live past like 28 or something. You know, it's like life expectancy is like increased tenfold. We're living into our like 70s or 80s. Okay. And we're eating like Pop Tarts and shit. Like, get over it, bruv. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you shouldn't be stuffing your face with Pop-Tarts all the time, but, like, I don't need to be sitting here eating fucking chicken testicles and that. You know what I mean? Like, give me my round wheel back and get on your bike, mate. You know what I mean? Like, Flintstones.
Yeah, I hate that fucking argument when, yeah, like, people say, oh, but, you know, they're like, indigenous people who live in, like, the middle of nowhere in Africa. Or not Africa, but Alaska. And they're like, yeah, they only eat exclusively like meat and liver and shit. And I'm like, but it's because they live in the middle of fucking nowhere. And also our ancestors did that too. And they had to hunt and gather food. But we don't have to fucking do that. That's the point of technology. Yeah, exactly.
We got Walmart.
I want to be able to drive down a mile down the street and go to Walmart and get stuff that I want to get. Like, I don't want to have to hunt for my shit.
I was watching a video from Liver King. I think it was like somebody was reacting to it. And it was a video. It was a video of Liver King. And he's like, he's in grass. He's walking on grass with like 80 pound kettlebells, you know, and his shirt off. And like, he's got these bulging six pack and dude's just fucking yoked out of his mind, right? And he's just like walking on grass with kettlebells. And then he's walking through a fucking river stream with kettlebells. And he's like, the most ancestral work. He works out like our ancestors used to. I'm like, he's literally just walking with kettlebells through fucking water and grass. There's nothing different about that than walking through fucking concrete with kettlebells. Like, and that's not doing anything. Like, it's just a farmer's carry. Like, cool, you're improving your grip strength and shit, but like, how is that ancestor? How is that?
Yeah. And if anything, I don't even think our ancestors were like that jacked.
No, dude,
muscle is so metabolically expensive.
They didn't have steroids back then.
Yeah, that too.
Dude, the guy's obviously on so much fucking gear, dude.
Mm-hmm. I heard he was on the Logan Paul
Impulsive or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw that he had claimed still that he's not. I didn't see the podcast, so I can't fully comment, but I saw that he's still claiming that he's natural. Like, he's actually claiming natural is what I saw. And it's like, man, just tell the truth. Like, come on. You're like twice the size of a well-built bloke.
But his whole thing is he doesn't care about being truthful and honest, man. He cares about making as much fucking money as humanly possible in the shortest amount of time possible. Mm-hmm. And like you know, Mike Matthews and Adam Schefter said in their podcast, they were like, it is a business model that works. It's not like the long-term game. But this guy's going to make a fuck ton of money. If he hasn't already, he's already made a fuck ton of money off these supplements and off these companies. And then he's going to fucking get his cash and bounce. And he may return with another fad that comes out in the next 5 years. Or he may just like take his money and bounce.
He's got enough, I'm sure.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. He was like, I saw a picture of him on Instagram. He's like flying on a private jet. And this guy came out of nowhere, dude. Nobody knew who he was like a year ago.
Yeah. And we see this business model like throughout history. It's like things just blow up all of a sudden and you hear about it for a few years and all of a sudden it just disappears off the face of the planet. Like it never happened or it's either that or it's like people find out the truth and like this huge scandal takes place and then they just dip out.
There's some people who ride that line very, very well where they really, really put the emphasis on something like, let's say, intermittent fasting. They're like, this is, and they tout all of the benefits like of intermittent fasting, right? They're like, oh, insulin and improved HGH, and it's just supercharging your fucking metabolism and your hormones, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then there are people who like transition out of like the intermittent fasting and then they just start making regular fitness content. And it's like maybe they made a shit ton of money in the beginning when they were like basically hyping up and over-exaggerating scientific claims to make a lot of money at first, and then they transition to like, okay, I'm just gonna like chill in the background now that I've made my money. And it's like that business model is one way to do it. And then there's people like Liver King and Carnivore MD, and it's like, dude, almost guaranteed 10 years from now those guys are not going to be around, or if they are, they're going to be on something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's Thomas DeLauer, you must know who he is. Mm-hmm. YouTuber,
the keto guy.
Yeah, and he was like keto and intermittent fasting, and like he's been on Lane Norton's podcast or vice versa. He's been one of them anyway. He's been on each other's podcast and they've had some good discussions. And Thomas DeLauer has acknowledged some things that he got wrong. And so it's like, do you think that that's a good thing that he's now? It's more though that he's realized where he was wrong in the past, as opposed to like he was trying to fool us for a long time. And now he's like, okay, how can I make this more sustainable? So it's not like he was trying to trick us, but you know, people do actually believe in what the content is that they're putting out. People do actually believe in what they're doing. And so to them, it's not always like, I'm going to make a load of money because I'm just going to preach this thing to make a load of money. It's like they do actually wholeheartedly believe that it's the best thing that people need to hear. And that could be like, say, Thomas DeLauer, where he's putting out that information about ketogenic lifestyle, intermittent fasting. And then as he learns more, and maybe he should have been, you know, having such a high following, maybe he should have been more accountable to understanding the science a little bit more, especially because he was teaching scientific principles of those things from different studies and such. Maybe he should have been a bit more accountable to learning that a little bit more. But he is starting to now take a stance and say, you know, these are some things I got wrong, and this is how I work with my diet now. Yeah. And so where do you see the problem there, if at all?
I think good on him for coming forward and just admitting that he was wrong. Like that's huge. I think that's more than most people's egos will allow them to do. And I think that speaks volumes to someone's character. I also agree though, if somebody has a huge platform, they are under different scrutiny and a different microscope. So they should potentially hire people to look into like really quality like research to back up their claims, and like have fact checkers to make sure that they're not incorrect about spouting out information that's going to potentially be harmful for people to consume, because they do have a different responsibility. It's a different responsibility. And we see these huge doctors and huge YouTube channels. If you just Google right now, like what are the best foods for fat loss or something, you're going to get some bullshit on the first page of Google. Absolute dog shit. you're going to get, what's the best diet for fat loss? You're going to get some absolute dog shit on page one of Google, right? It's going to be like Dr. Mercola or like one of these chiropractors that talk about nutrition. You know what I mean? It's going to be like Dr. Mark Hyman or something. And it's just like, dude, it's all just bullshit, absolute bullshit. And nobody's holding them accountable, right? Because they have such a big following and such a cult-like following that it doesn't matter. They're going to make their money. Do you know who the medical medium is?
Yes, I've heard of him.
He's basically a guy who claims that he gets his nutrition information from ghosts.
Yep.
And, oh my God. And, bro, like, go look him up on TikTok because it is some of the wildest, like, shit you've ever heard. And
oh, my God.
Bro, but people follow him. Like, he's got something called the celery juice diet.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
He's not like the human garage guy.
Human garage? No.
Have you seen that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think you showed us that guy. But, yeah.
It's like he just makes shit up as he goes along. It's like, how do you lose fat in your left pectoral? How do you lose fat in your left pectoral? Well, what you got to do is you just pin back your right ear, pull your nose to the side, look up at the ceiling, wait for 3 minutes, and then you're going to sneeze 4 times, and then you chew your elbow.
Yeah.
It's like,
and Bob's your uncle?
No, mate. Come on. And people are like, great. How do I now do it for my right toe in the comments? It's like,
oh my God. Yeah. But to kind of answer your question, I think it's like, it's all about leading with transparency and honesty. I think like all of us aren't perfect. I think we've all like probably spouted nonsense at some time or said some stuff that we don't think is factually incorrect now, but it's all about being able to recognize that as a mistake. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, always lead with transparency, honesty, and always just, as long as you're trying your best to kind of remain objective, that's I think that's kind of just the best course of action. Because I mean, I think a lot of people who do, I can't speak for every single person, obviously. I know probably some people, you know, like some of the doctors that we mentioned earlier, like some of them probably know that they're spouting nonsense, but they continue to do it anyway because they've just gone so far into their one system that they have dug themselves into a hole that's so deep that it's like they can't just back out now, or they can, but they're gonna lose a lot of their revenue, a lot of their followers as a result of that. So they probably feel like they can't do that. But I think for most people, like, they are well intentioned. They probably give out advice because they're like, well, this worked really well for me, and so I want to be able to share this with other people, and I want to be able to help other people out. But it's also realizing that, like, objectively, it's like, yeah, this approach might work really well for certain people who are in this circumstance, but it's not something that can be applied to every single person. And I even think that that connects well to that same podcast that Jeff mentioned earlier with Mike Matthews. And they said that a lot of these methods, they work out like this, where, like, you have this one method, say, like, the carnivore diet, and you give it to an audience of, like, 5 million people. It's like, maybe that doesn't work well for the entire 5 million, but it works well for the like 100,000 people, which that might be a small percentage compared to 5 million, but that 100,000 people is still 100,000 people. And as a result of that, people get these great results. And then you hear them, like, thousands of testimonials as a result of that, and you think it's legit because there are thousands of testimonials, which obviously has to speak to something, right? So I think that's it for the most part.
You guys have to listen to this. This is about the medical medium. Just because I know Andy, I don't think you've heard of him before, but so he claims to be, so this is about medical medium. He claims to be an invaluable resource to doctors who need help solving their most difficult cases. And most of all, he calls himself the originator of the global celery juice movement. Millions of people are healing thanks to drinking 16 ounces of straight celery juice on an empty stomach every day, a specific healing practice that Anthony has been recommending since he was a child in 1975. Apparently, he was 4 when he first started working in nutrition. William claims to get all of his direction and information from a spirit, which he describes as the living essence of the word compassion. He believes that the spirit is not only accurate, but it's also ahead of current treatments in what it recommends to him, as in conventional medicine hasn't caught up yet. He has no medical or nutritional background, and the disclaimer on his site is as long as my arm. He scoffs at medical research and mainstream treatments and says his protocols can cure diseases and conditions that are otherwise incurable. Yeah.
It's insane, isn't it?
Dude, it's insane. And he's all about like cleansing the liver and like how we carry all these toxins and heavy metals in our body and how like these smoothies and drinking celery juice is going to cleanse out all of these heavy metals and toxins. Bro, I'm telling you, and people believe this shit to the core. So I think it's like, and here's another thing too, is like, if you believe in something enough, there is a placebo effect that is actually more, it's actually more effective than the treatment itself. So yeah. If you believe in the thing that much, the placebo effect and how crazy the mind and the brain and the body and everything is connected, the placebo effect will actually give you the results that you're looking for. But it's not the treatment itself. It's the placebo effect. And this has been shown in so much research, which is just absolutely mind-boggling. But it's why people think that these natural remedies are the answers and how to cure things, when in fact, we don't know how much of that is actually the placebo effect and the brain and the body and nervous system and our beliefs actually changing and instilling some sort of relief of these symptoms.
People just are taking advantage of like consumer psychology, and you know, because consumers are just always looking for the quickest way to do something, and they don't want to believe that the truth is the truth. They don't want to believe that calories are a thing. You know, they've heard it for so long, and it's too difficult to track calories. It's too difficult. It's too difficult to eat less calories and make adjustments to lifestyle. It takes too long. It's too difficult to make habit changes. The whole process is too hard. So there must be an easier way in order to feel better. What is that? Who can show me that way? Where's there a group of people that can show me the way to cleanse my liver, you know, and remove these precious metals from my gallbladder? You know, it's like, and it's not necessarily their fault, you know, because if there's someone that is highly educated in an unrelated field, let's say they have a doctor next to their name, why would you question them? Because they are regarded as the most highly educated people in society that we are taught to look up to and take advice from when it comes to our health and wellness, you know. But you don't realize that you're listening to a chiropractor tell you about what's in your liver potentially, you know. You don't really know the difference, because the chiropractic doctors that are trying to get into nutrition don't specify that. They just say, Dr. Andy Tate, you know, you can call me Dr. Andy Tate. Yeah, I got a doctor in hospitality business management, and I'm here to tell you, okay, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, they're taking advantage. And I'm not saying that they don't believe in the products and the services that they provide, but I don't believe in them. And that's what's important. But I just, it frustrates me, because as you guys are fully aware, you know, we have to deal with the repercussions of this. This is why we have a job. You know, it's like to get people out of this bullshit way of thinking. And like, it's not even just like general populations that struggle with this. It's also people that go to the gym a lot. You know, I'd say that people that go to the gym more often and a bit more dedicated are a little bit more savvy, but also there's people that aren't, you know. And I even was like a pretty good CrossFit athlete competing at local competitions, and I was buying into intermittent fasting. I was like, should I go keto? And so it's still so tempting as a like someone that goes to the gym, someone's quite educated in like gym performance, and I was a personal trainer at the time as well. And like, it's so easy. Like, I read The Obesity Code by Dr. Jason Fung. And like, again, I was like, this guy's a doctor. He must know what he's talking about. He's talking about the science of insulin and stuff. And I totally bought into it. Having now done my research, not research, but reading on the topic and getting a fully understanding of that situation, it's not about insulin. You know, it's not about your hormones. It's about, you know, energy balance. But I'm just trying to say it's not. It is so easy to get sucked in and to follow a crowd that is going to lead you down a path that you shouldn't be led down, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you made a good point about the just playing on people's psychology and all that, because a lot of it has to do with like the novelty factor of it too. Because how many times have you heard calorie deficit? How many times have you heard like eat your protein, eat your veggies, and all that? It's like that stuff. It's like, oh, I already know that, but you hear someone out of nowhere come out with this brand new diet. It's like it sounds super cool and it sounds super easy, sounds super simple, and then you fall for it because it sounds new. And so you think, oh, this must be the next best thing. This must be the new secret.
Yeah, it's new. It's sexy. It's going to give me quick results. It's going to make me healthier than everyone else in half the time. You know, insert buzzword and you got it. You know what I mean? And nobody wants to put in the hard work. I mean, if there's an easier option, who would? You know what I mean? But unfortunately, you're just going to waste time. That's the thing. Overall, you are wasting your time with certain things. And so anyway, that's a bit of a rant.
Yeah.
No, it's true, man. Looking for the quick, easy way out is a quick and easy way to take a fucking really long time to reach your goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty ironic.
And I know because I've done it. I've done it. Like, I've done such crazy shit. I actually, what's funny is I brought up the celery juice thing. I drank celery juice on an empty stomach. Like, in 2016, I was drinking celery juice on an empty stomach.
I was doing shots of apple cider vinegar, man. We've all done it. That's why we're here now, so we can help other people.
Fucking crazy, dude. Yeah. It's crazy.
But it's hard to get, it's really hard to get through to people. Because it's like, how can we teach people to learn from our mistakes? And that's really part of our job. It's like, how can I get you to learn from my mistakes? And when you're the coach and you're trying to help them, it's like you just want to shake them and say, "Fuck you, knob. I'm telling you, I've done it and it doesn't work."
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a knob if you don't listen to me. But it's like they have to go through it themselves sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating to see them when you're telling them, like, that's probably not the best thing to do. And they go and do it anyway. But like, again, that's the fastest way to learn. But it's the fastest way to waste your time as well. Because like, I see so often people make really fast progress by doing keto for a week or two. And then it's like too hard. They give up. Nothing works for them. They feel like they're broken. Metabolism's broken. Everything. They go back to square one, if not gain weight, feel shit about themselves, feel like they've got no willpower, feel like they're, you know, they're never going to make the progress that they want to make. When actually they could, if they stop blaming their metabolism, if they stop blaming their willpower, and they have a real understanding of what is a good expectation when it comes to weight loss, you know, instead of coming in with this quick mindset, I lost, you know, what am I going to try and lose a pound a week for when I lost 10 pounds in a week doing keto? It's like, what's the point in that? Keto is the way for me. I've done it once before. I lasted 2 weeks. I'll try it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm getting bloody fired up over that.
I don't blame him either.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, we've all been down that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Austin. Yeah. Go on, mate.
It's hard looking in from the outside because it's like we've been through that, so we know exactly how this is going to play out. But it's like if we were to kind of go back and talk to her, or like our younger selves, we probably at that time where our younger selves be like, no, fuck you, this is gonna work. Like, I know for sure this is gonna work. But it's like, it's not until you, after you've gone through it. And like, this is something that I've, and I'm sure that we can all relate to this, like something that we've like evolved as coaches, like it just simply trying to tell your client what to do, it's like not the best course of action, and it often doesn't play out the way that we think it's going to play out. Like we are more so like guides to kind of like get our clients to realize things that we need them to realize, rather than like trying to like rip them up from point A and put them into point B. It's like we sort of have to shape their path there.
Yeah. That motivational interviewing, man, it works really well because you're basically letting people come up with their own path and their own answers. Because inherently, if you probably would have looked at us back when we were trying keto or all the crazy shit, if somebody would have asked us, like, how long do you think you can plan on doing this, right? Like, hard-headed ass Jeff might have been like, oh, this is the way. Like, I'm doing this for the rest of my life. Like, this is it, right? But then every weekend, I'm fucking binging on pastries and fruit and carbs and, like, going off keto for, like, an entire weekend. And then Monday, I'm like, okay, I need to fast. I need to fast for 48 hours to get back into ketosis. Crazy, dude.
What a rabbit hole, bro.
Crazy. Yeah. I'm lucky I came out of that with, like, as little damage to my relationship with food and my health as possible. Cause like I could have came out of that with an eating disorder straight up.
Yeah.
Definitely could have.
I don't know if I've ever told this story, but I don't even know if I can claim that I'm a natural because I bought ephedrine.
Ephedrine? Yeah.
I bought it out. This guy that I knew, I don't know if I've told you guys this story or not, but there was this guy that I used to get protein powder from, and he used to sell it from a hotel room. And I would rock up, and he always had it for such low prices.
He like, said I would rock up?
I would rock up, yeah. You guys don't say rock that.
No, definitely sounds like you're doing some sketchy ass drug deals, bro. You're meeting a guy in a hotel for some protein and ephedrine.
Yeah. Well, first time, he gave me the address, and I was like pulling up in this hotel car park, and I'm like, "What the hell is this place? He's not here. It's a hotel." I messaged him, and I was like, "Hey, I'm at a hotel," and he's like, "Yeah, come in." So I was like, "All right." So anyway, like I went into the hotel, and he was selling all this like protein powder. Super
did he
cheap.
Pat? Did he pat you down?
Did he pat me down? I was hoping. So anyway, like I used to buy my protein powder from him because he used to sell it on the cheap. So I was like, yeah, bloody two's up on that things, mate. You know what I mean? And then anyway, and I was telling him that I wanted to lose weight, and he was just like, oh, you got to try the T90s, mate. And I was like, oh yeah. Whatever T90s about. He was like, didn't tell me anything about calorie counting or like energy deficit. He was straight in with the sups. You know what I mean? You got to try these T90s. He was like, yeah, ephedrine. And I was like, yeah, all right. And then, so I bought these tablets, and I was at university at the time. I remember I was like rocking up at the library, taking these T90s. And I was like jeering off my tits, mate, trying to get some work done on my final year dissertation things. Anyway, I took this, and so I was like, I'm taking these tablets, and I was training hard. I was boxing at the time. I wasn't doing that much weightlifting, but I took these tablets, and I was like, oh, okay, I might as well just not eat that much because I wasn't that hungry because they were like appetite suppressant, and they were thermogenic as well. And it's like, I was like, I wasn't that hungry. So I was like, okay, I just won't eat. And I took them for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then I was like, I think I should stop taking these. And I spent the next 5 days in bed. Pretty much. And it was awful. It was like, I didn't used to drink coffee at this time, but I would say it would be like way worse coffee, going cold turkey on coffee. Mm. And I just spent 5 days pretty much in bed. And I was like, pretty much replenished any calories that I had lost from those 3 weeks. And anyway, I forgot what my main point of this whole story was, but we've all done some stupid stuff. And
I mean, it was a good story. It was a good story. Mm-hmm. I love it. Dude, so you can get, like, ephedrine is actually illegal in Oregon.
Illegal?
Yeah, it's illegal here because...
Yeah, it's illegal in the UK as well.
But it's legal in a lot of other places. Like, it's legal in California and other places. And so, right. But the reason it's illegal in Oregon is because people were using it to make meth.
Right.
Because this is like a big meth state, I guess. So.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, well, just thinking back to that, it was like, it was so stupid. I didn't eat anything barely, and it just, it's so stupid. I'm just so stupid, young and naive, you know. God, if I could just go back in time and be like, you know what, mate, 500 calorie a day deficit, okay. Oh, mate, I'd be so jacked right now.
You wouldn't have listened.
No, I wouldn't have listened. I'd be like, I think I'll see like, T90s,
bro. Yeah. Give me that T90.
You're like, T90s, bro. I'm rocking up, mate.
Just rocking up the old tail room, you know what I mean? Where's the gym at?
Getting pat-downs in the Holiday Inn.
Chilling at the Holiday Inn, mate. You know what I mean? Chicks ain't leaving till 6 in the morning, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. All right, well, what y'all got going on the rest of the day?
Well, it's 8. It's 7 p.m. here, so I might have a consult call. I've had a friend of mine trying to ring me, trying to have a nutrition consult, so I might try and call him back, and then I'll be getting ready, maybe have something to eat, go to bed. That's me done.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, I got some programs to write, and then I'm big chilling the rest of the day, man. Just got some programs to write. That's it.
Dang.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not going to fucking make any more TikToks or videos today.
Good.
Yeah.
Don't hold me to that, because I probably will. As soon as I say I'm not going to, then I'm like, oh, just came up with a good idea.
You're addicted to producing content.
Bro, I took a solid 2 days off of making or reposting or doing any content this week. Took a solid 2 days off. And I was like, Good for you, Jeff. You needed You needed to do that. Especially because this week's been fucking heavy. So I feel like I might just take the whole weekend off as well. And just, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I got the tournament. So that's going to be like my main focus.
Oh, yeah. You got to be in peak performance state.
Yeah, which honestly, man, it's a fucking weird thing. Like being... like nutrition for sports, like when you're doing like an event like that, it's like, I know you don't want too much food in your stomach right before like something like a tournament or something where you're going to be doing, but it can drag on like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So both days. So like we're talking eight hours of playtime total. So I'm trying to think of like stuff that I can bring with or have before that's going to keep my energy going, but not just carbs, you know, I'm trying to think of just like simple things I can pack. But yeah.
For what I know, I think it's like, you definitely do want a pretty like carb heavy, like meal, probably like an hour or two before, because then that will keep you fueled up. And then during, you want quick, like fast digesting stuff,
just like a some fruit or like a night, like basically just, you just want that glucose in your system, because it's not like zone it's not like zone 4 or 5, you know, it's probably gonna be zone 2 or 3, you know. But my heart rate's gonna be fucking going, because it's intense, you're like, you want to win. So the main thing is just gonna be trying to calm everything down and just breathe and just play my normal game, because it's like you start tensing up and make a lot of mistakes. So yeah should be fun.
All right, are we gonna call this?
That was funny shit.
Seeing if Andy was gonna break. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will check you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye-bye.